Just going further forward, items, things, general discussion from the commission and director. Director Anderson, do you want to lead us off?
Sure. There are just a couple of items that I would bring to your attention. The first is that we enacted an emergency regulation yesterday that would become effective on January 1 that would require the use of barbless hooks in the concurrent waters of the Columbia River. That matches up with the action taken by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission at their meeting on December 7th. Relative to the issue on sturgeon, as a reminder, our joint state accord that we have with Oregon includes language that states the following. The harvest guideline in 2013 will be determined after assessments of the stock status relative to recent trends and the management objective of providing population growth. You will all recall that out of the Columbia River work group process came a recommendation back to the respective commissions that in 2013 there not be any directed sturgeon fishery that includes retention. Instead, the only sturgeon fishery that would be allowed would be a catch and release sturgeon fishery, this is in the areas below Bonneville Dam. As we reported to you at your commission meeting last Saturday, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission did not follow the recommendations of the work group and instead is providing for a sturgeon retention fishery in 2013. They also, I believe, and I'll check with Guy to make sure I'm accurate, but enacted a one fish annual bag limit for sturgeon. The discussion by the commission at their meeting on, I believe it was on Saturday, December 10th, they gave me direction to work with my counterpart in Oregon, Roy Elliker, the director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, to provide a more precautionary, risk-averse approach to managing sturgeon in 2013. There was, while it wasn't included as a formal motion, there was a reference to having a 25% buffer applied to a 16% harvest rate as one possible approach to achieve that more risk-averse precautionary approach in 2013. We have had our first discussion with our counterparts in Oregon just yesterday. We looked at a table that included numeric values for what occurred in 2012, what was planned, what the actual catches were. We looked at a table that included a 2013 with the 16% harvest rate and a 10% buffer, which is in part the action taken by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. And then we looked at scenarios that increased that conservation buffer up to 25%. We did not reach any kind of a conclusion in our conversation yesterday. This was our first one. There was some question from Director Elliker about our process, about what action the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission had or hadn't taken. There was a sharing of this data. There was a commitment for us to continue to work over the course of the next several weeks to try to get a resolution on this issue. I did have a subsequent voicemail from Director Elliker that he wished to continue our conversations today. I've tried to reach him here this morning. I wasn't able to do that yet, but I'm going to continue my efforts to try to get a more conservative approach in terms of establishing the harvest rate and or the absolute numerical value of the landed catch that would be allowed in 2013. So a long-winded way of saying we've started our discussions. We haven't come to a conclusion yet, and I really at this point in time wouldn't, I don't really know the prospects of success. And Guy, I don't know if you have anything to add to that that may have occurred at your level with Oregon since we had our conference call with them yesterday.
Director Anderson, no, I haven't had further conversation with Oregon since yesterday. Just to confirm the one fish bag question, Oregon did enact that for 2013.
And I would maybe add to that that we talked about it here. Of course, our license year goes from April 1 through March 31st. So we've got people out there with catch record cards for sturgeon licenses for this license year that may well have some number of, I believe there's five, an allowance of five fish on the catch record card. So, and I also think we've evaluated the potential savings with the one fish limit on sturgeon, and I think that analysis concluded that the benefits are almost immeasurable there, but we're going to look at that again. We think the much more straightforward approach to addressing the conservation issue is by either reducing the harvest rate from 16% down to some lower level, either do that through a simple reduction in the harvest rate or applying a buffer to the 16%. Either way, the effect is a reduction in the harvest rate and a reduction in the quotas that would be allowed. So we think that is a far more effective way to address the conservation issue we have rather than an annual bag limit that, frankly, is very difficult to enforce. And given that we're in the middle, well, we're not in the middle, but we're three-quarters of the way through a license year, we don't believe that it would be effective. It might make somebody feel good, but frankly, we don't think it really has any kind of a measurable conservation benefit.
Thank you, Director. And Guy, questions from the commission? I got one for the director. Is the commission, is the number we got in harvest for 2012, did it continue to show a downward trend?
Guy, I believe the 2012 number continued to show a downward trend in the abundance of legal sized fish in the population.
Mr. Chairman and Director Anderson, that's true. The final estimate for 2011 was 80,500 legal sized fish, and the 2012 final estimate was 72,700. The projection for 2013 is 74,300. So there's a projected starting uptick in the population, slight in 2013, but the trend was a continued reduction in 2012 as predicted.
And that projection is off of they've changed the model. They've had 2 years of experience with about 11% error in it. Is that right?
Commissioner Doobie, I don't recall the percent error, but yes, it's true. The model has been in place for 2 years. This will be the third year. There has been some comparative work with the historic method, which is the gillnet catch and release. The more recent method is a setline catch and release. They have compared fairly close. The trend in the last 2 years is that the final estimate has actually exceeded the projection. So that error in terms of projection versus actual has gone in the positive direction.
Any other questions to the director?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Mankin?
I guess what I have heard is that with regard to the last two measurements using the set line technique, that we can really, with the error involved in the estimates, that there's no statistical difference between the last 2 years. Is that true?
Commissioner Mankin, I guess I'm not aware of the the statistical analysis, but the projected versus the final estimate have been reasonably close, and I think Commissioner Doobie, in 11% error, I think that looks to me, just looking at the numbers, pretty accurate. The projection, though, has actually been less than the actual, so that in the last 2 years, at least, we've seen that, it's projection is pretty darn close, but the actual's actually exceeded it by a small percentage point, likely not significant.
Further questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, I think we need to, if it's the consensus of the commissioners, that we continue to ask the director to continue the discussions and to keep us informed of what the alternatives, and see if we can come to some kind of a compromise with Oregon on this. I still sense that we are concerned about conservation, and as you mentioned, the bag limit doesn't seem to achieve that, so we would hope that you continue to push on conservation and come back with a workable solution to this problem for us.
Commissioner Jennings?
Yes. Commissioner Jennings, go ahead.
Thank you, and I agree with the direction you're taking. I think I am concerned about the continued decline of sturgeon. The discussion we had at the last commission meeting was taking the 16% harvest and putting a 25% buffer on that. If there's a different way to functionally get there, like reducing the 16% to a lower number or so, and having a 10% buffer gets us to that same place, I'm comfortable with whatever approach the director takes in negotiation with his Oregon counterpart. But I am hoping that we will end up and expecting, I guess, with a significant reduction from the 16%, 10% buffer that was on the table before we started the conversation with the Oregon folks back in September.
Thank you, Commissioner Jennings. Any other comments?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Perry.
Thank you. My only comment on this is whatever is agreed on between Washington and Oregon, it should be to try to restore that run to a point where it can be fished again. But I guess my major point is that I think this is kind of goes without saying, but I want to make sure that the monitoring, the intensive monitoring that's going on, continues to determine whether the decision has been the decision that's made actually results in an improved population of sturgeon. And I think that's an extremely important part of adaptive management that I think we need to keep in mind when we make rules on these on fish like sturgeon and really any other species too, that we closely monitor to make sure that the conservation and restoration is actually happening. That's all I have to say, really.
Thank you, Commissioner Perry. One thing, Director Anderson or Guy Norman, could you clarify, and no one's talked about the commercial side on the sturgeon fishery. Under this one bag rule, what is the status of the commercial side?
Well, they're simply applying the percentage split between recreational and commercial, and holding the commercial fishery to their quota, using the 16% with a 10% buffer. So their guideline under that approach, 2,140 fish.
And the season for the commercial fishing and locations, is that like it same as it was last year?
Yeah, is that something that will be addressed in the compact meeting?
Yeah, Commissioner Duvia, Director Anderson, compact scheduled for January 30th to set initial spring Chinook seasons. Sturgeon harvest in 2013 would be happen concurrent with salmon seasons. We did not have a December compact to set a January winter commercial fishery this year, recognizing that there was uncertainty in terms of harvest number or whether or not there would be sturgeon harvest in 2013. So we've already foregone that January period. So first opportunity for sturgeon harvest would be consistent with salmon seasons in February to April period.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Carpenter.
Mr. Carpenter?
So Guy, I have a hypothetical question for you. As we went through the work group process and the policy document, there's an upriver bright commercial fishery above the Lewis River using large mesh gill net. I assume that's in August. I don't remember the time frame. August, September, is that correct?
Commissioner Carpenter, yeah, late August, and then mid-September is the target period.
So that's from the Lewis River upstream to the dam. I guess that's the upstream boundary, but what type of hypothetical impact would you think that directed Chinook fishery would have on sturgeon, and what kind of sturgeon mortality would you anticipate?
Commissioner Carpenter, so it's large mesh gear to focus on Chinook salmon and forego interception of steelhead. There is sturgeon harvested in that, concurrent with that fishery. The boundary for the commercial fishery, the permanent boundary, is 5 miles below Bonneville Dam at Beacon Rock. And then the sturgeon sanctuary, which continues through the month of August, is another 4 miles downstream. upstream. There is some overlap in that sturgeon sanctuary, latter part of the sturgeon sanctuary, uppermost part of the commercial boundary. So there is some sturgeon harvest. One of the issues that we were dealing with in the public forums last year was that sanctuary issue in terms of the commercial fishery, including that. We haven't completely resolved that issue as of yet. We did work with the commission on that some last year. Mortality for sturgeon in either the recreational or commercial fishery, unlike salmon, is very low. We've looked at that as we've in our monitoring programs, as well as we've used gill nets, continue to use that to tag sturgeon as well. So there has been some studies that indicate, I think in the Fraser system, about a 2% mortality. There was a study last year that Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife did with sturgeon in net pens for a short period of time. I believe it was 48 hours and saw no mortality. So we don't have a complete handle on the exact mortality rate, but all of our experience and information we do have indicate that it's extremely low for both the sport fishery and commercial fishery.
Just one short follow-up question, if I may. Do you have any required soak times on the drifts for gill nets in the Columbia, probably above of the Lewis River? And the second piece of that, if a gill netter was to get a large sturgeon in 9-inch mesh, he's going to know it immediately because the corks are going to start leaving the surface of the water, I would imagine. Is there some type of criteria that we require them to release the sturgeon from the net, assuming they have no impacts that they can take sooner or later? And I mean, I don't know, what do they get, a 30-minute soak time, hour and a half soak time, or is there any criteria?
So, Commissioner Carpenter, the only soak time that we have in regulation is associated with the tanglenet fishery in the springtime. Number of regulations in the spring period, length of net, soak time maximum. We don't apply that to the fall fishery with large mesh gill nets. Typically, if a commercial fisherman intercepts a large sturgeon, oversized sturgeon, they don't bring it on board. They release it in the water. Just the mere practicality of bringing that size of fish on board precludes that. I've observed that myself, and so that's just sort of the kind of a practical part of the operation. But we don't have maximum soak times during that fall period as part of our regulations at this point.
And based on your experience, you don't think it's necessary for consideration?
Well, I think it is an issue that, or a regulatory concept, I think, that we could have further discussions about. I guess I wouldn't take it off the table.
No, good explanation. Thank you, Guy.
Further discussion from the commissioners? Thank you, Director Anderson, for the update. And if you can just keep us all informed, our next conference call will be January 4th, so I assume that'll be our next update on this. We do have to come to make a decision at our January 11th and 12th meeting. Is that correct for Director Anderson for setting seasons and your compact meeting coming up?
Well, I mean, we have the commission has a policy that goes through 2013. As part of that policy, we seek to achieve concurrent regulations with Oregon as a means to facilitate and to enact that policy. We have what's known as the joint state accord for Columbia River sturgeon management that also goes through 2013, and so it's that vehicle that I work with my counterpart in Oregon to get agreement on the overall approach, and then through the Columbia River Compact is where they'll determine the specific season dates and those kinds of elements for the fishery. So there really isn't an action needed by the commission in January, given that we have an existing policy, we have an existing accord, and this outlier, this issue that's been raised as a result of the recommendations that came forward from the Columbia River Work Group, the direction that the commission gave me at your last meeting, and I'll continue to update you on the results of my conversations with Director Elliker.
What, if any, flexibility does Oregon have at this time to modify their rule that they just put in place?
Well, that's the topic of discussion with Oregon right now. I believe Director Elliker was going to have some conversation with his commission chair, Commissioner Levy. So they would need to, I'm not sure exactly what they, I don't know that they put anything in rule, but I'm not certain of that, regarding the 16% and the 10% buffer. I don't know if they put that in rule, or whether they left that up to the provisions of the accord. So we're sorting through those issues with them as we have our discussions, and we'll be able to provide you a more complete update next time we talk.
Thank you for that clarification, Director Anderson. I think in summary, I think that consensus still from the commission is tend more towards conservation and see what we can negotiate with our cohorts in Oregon. But we are primarily making a conservation decision here more than a fishing season. So just keep this posted. We appreciate it. Thanks for the update, and we'll have our next discussion on January 4th.
Okay.
Is there any other?
I just had one other quick thing. Here at the Department of Fish and Wildlife, we're going to be observing a moment of silence in memory of those who lost their lives in Connecticut a week ago today. Governor Malloy from Governor of State of Connecticut has proclaimed this day as a day of remembrance of those people. And so we're going to be doing that here at the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and invite any of you that might be able to join us in that moment of silence at 9:30 to do that.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate that update. Is there any other discussion items from the commissioners? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting of December 21st conference call with the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you on the 4th of January.
Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.